The ambient sound is wind going through my hair as I walk out again on the pavement outside my house with my dog in order to record something. Well, actually, the truth is I have come out because I want to come out. And because I'm coming out, I decided, well, I'll bring the iPhone with me and I'll record another February contribution, day five. And I quickly nipped into the kitchen and turned on one of my internet sources and said, oh God, what on earth is this evening going to be about, the theme? And I see that is talk about something I'm interested in, and there's a great little question. You know, can I teach you something? We'll leave that for a minute. Right, what am I interested in? Let me tell you one thing I'm interested in, and it's the writing of poetry. I am a poet, and I have written poetry continuously since 1995. And the significance of this is that when I left school many years before that, I had more or less zero interest in poetry, less than zero interest in poets, and I became shortly after leaving school, I became a radical left-wing agitator, propagandist, and I held a kind of viewpoint which looked down its nose at artists who wrote poetry. So I had no time for poets. Continued throughout my life up until a certain point in 1994, I think it was. And there's a story behind what happened, and I haven't got time to tell you the story, and I'll tell you the story another time. Because this is talking about something I am interested in rather than the history of how I got to be interested in it. I hope you'll appreciate the distinction which I'm making in my own mind for the sake of brevity. Poetry. What on earth is poetry? Anyway. Now those of you who have no interest in poetry, that is your business. But let me think, what on earth is poetry? What is poetry? Well, the obvious thing about poetry is that it's on a page, it looks different from prose. If you look down at it on a page, you can see that the writer hasn't completed writing to the end of the line. And they may even have started in from the left-hand margin further than a normal prose writer would do. So basically, you don't need to fill the page, and that's one of the attractions of poetry, that you leave more space in on the page than you do if you're writing prose. And for some people, this... Everything I start to say, I find my brain or my head or my dialogue, my internal dialogue, contradicting what I'm going to say. But so this is about the hardest piece of radio or audio work that I've done in a long time. So that's one thing about poetry. It can be short. It can be terribly short. And of course, I had Bernard Shaw rolling around in my brain saying something like, you know, I hadn't time to write you a short letter, so I wrote you a long one. So you can, if that has ever played on your mind, you can appreciate that I feel at the moment like a man who's sinking in a swamp of his own ideas. And every time he flays to put one out there, it fails. Okay, poetry is a form of writing which has got all sorts of awful stuff surrounding it, which is, or at least it used to have. When I was at school, I was introduced to poetry by the most wonderful English teacher I ever had. But he certainly made poets seem as if they were people to be looked up to. They were higher forms of writing than the plebs, the lower forms of prose writers, you know. So you have this thing about poetry, so that I've had reaction from people who said things like, when I've asked them have you ever written a poem? They say, no, I wouldn't write a poem. No, that's for poets. Only poets can write poems. I'm just an ordinary mortal. So, yes. Anyway, I think poets have just as many vices as everybody else. And they can be just as crap, as awful, as cliched, as dreadful, as boring as anybody else. In other words, there is an awful lot of bad poetry. And by that I mean that there's an awful lot of poetry that when you read it, you would think, oh, this person has written this down and it sounds like somebody else. So, you know, in other words, the writing is a copy. The poet isn't even aware that they're writing stuff that, like, for example, if you were to say, let us say you were going to write a poem about the moon, and you were going to use the phrase, the silver moon. Are you going to say let's just think of the silver moon. And you think, well, yeah, so the writer is describing the moon as silver. And you think, well, hang on a minute. How many other people have described the moon as silver in the past? You know, okay, it's all very well. Silver might rhyme with tilver and sliver and, oh God, all sorts of other words. So you might get a smart rhyme out of it. Or moon might rhyme with soon, tune, moon, sloon, poon, floon, June. Falling over the dog, standing on him. But yes, you know, so I'm incoherent on the topic of poetry as somebody who is a poet and who wasn't always a poet and isn't by now. There was a time when I used to say to myself, I'm recently come to poetry. But I'm not. I've been writing poetry continuously since 1994 or 95. I think it was 95. But the point about this is that when I say continuously, I have written an awful lot of it. I've practiced an awful lot. Okay, that's the first part, something I'm interested in. But the next part of the question on Audio Boo this evening, or posed for the day, was, can you teach us something about poetry? And this is where a smile breaks out on the face of the rock. Rock being the dog, Rocky being his name. What on earth could I teach you about poetry? Well, the answer in the first place is absolutely nothing, because I don't know you. And I don't know what you carry around inside you in the form of music. I don't know what you carry around with you inside you in the form of symbols, and I don't know how you make meaning. In other words, I don't know some of the essential things that I think would help you to write poetry. So let me just start. The first thing I would do if I were you and I wanted to write a poem is that I would get a bit of paper. I wouldn't get a computer. I'd get a bit of paper and I'd get a notebook, and I probably wouldn't keep the notebook just for poetry. No, I'd keep the book for anything and everything. Now, I say this having tried several ways of keeping poetic notebooks, but the first thing is get yourself something to write with that you like. Get yourself something to write in that you like, and you're halfway to becoming a poet. Okay, step two. Tuition now here. Sit down, wherever you are, right now, with pen and pencil and whatever. And by the way, if you are going to write something right now, you are not, please, to tear it up and throw it away. The first drafts of some of the great poets, great poems include things like, I wandered lonely as a cow, right? And, I must arise and pee now. You know, there are wonderful poems that began in a way that was changed later on. In fact, there's a guy, American guy, but who spent a lot of time in England, and he wrote one of the greatest poems in the English language, and made of his got rid of I think it was 52% of it. So he just chucked it away, and we're left with a long poem. But most of the original stuff is gone. So, you know, just in case you think that it matters, and that you better just... let me just leap another leap. Do not sit there looking at the piece of paper, right? If you are waiting for inspiration to strike as my... as that wonderful, wonderful man from Michigan in the United States and from Clare in Ireland, who spends most of his life as a funeral director over there and comes back to Ireland, and whose name has gone out of my head temporarily, said to me once, not that I met him all that many times, he said if I was waiting for inspiration to hit me before I wrote, I'd spend, and I paraphrase him, I promise you, I spend, 99% of the year sitting on my arse doing feck all. And he would never speak like that, because he's much too poetic a man. Anyway, inspiration is for the dogs. Forget about inspiration. You do not need inspiration to be a poet. What you need to be a poet is, obviously, a hand to write, although you can dispense with that if you're William Wordsworth. You simply employ your sister to walk around after you and do the writing for you while you stride over mountains and you see lakes and valleys and God knows what else you see in the Lake District. And to those of you listening to me in the Lake District, you know, go do it. Get your sister to walk along behind you with the notebook, and you'll be a poet before the end of the day, because you won't actually edit anything that you write, and what will come straight out of you will be melodically inspired response to the landscape. And more than that, it'll not only be a response to the landscape, but it'll be a response to your response to the landscape, because poetry is not direct. It is a written down or a recorded response to the way in which your body has interacted with the environment. Anyway, that's getting a little bit up my own arse. But let's go back to the you sitting in this mythical kitchen. Cup of tea, coffee, water, nothing. Clothed or unclothed. You're there with your pen and you want to be a poet. So the next thing I suggest you do is you put a mark on the bit of paper in front of you and you actually start writing. And you do not actually wait for inspiration. You simply focus your eye on something. It could be the kettle. It could be the dog. It could be that speck of dust that has always irritated the hell out of you that you haven't prevailed upon your cleaner to clean for you. Yeah, that bloody lazy husband you have, that you haven't got to do the dusting in the kitchen yet, you know, that irritates you. You know, focus on something. It really doesn't matter what, right? And you might as well start the very first line with the thing that you're referring to. So, for example, you might start with a line that said, bloody dust. Okay, you're genuinely in touch with your feelings. You've got, you're irritated at the dust and you've written down, bloody dust. Okay, where are you going to go with this poem? Well, it depends on what kind of a person you are. You see, you can start, the next bit of the poem can be, you know, addressed to the dust. You can actually speak to the dust. So you could carry on in that vein. You could say, bloody dust, you piss me off like hell. And when I learn to write, I sure have a story to tell. Now, rhyming, that gets me to rhyming, the whole issue of rhyming, right? Now look, the reason that rhyming started by human beings was in order to enable people to remember stuff and pass it on to other people. Nowadays, we actually have bits of paper. You do not need to rhyme in order to be a poet. If you actually do want to rhyme, get yourself one of these books that gives you the rhymes. But to be honest, you don't need that either. You don't need anything to be a poet except, you know, except the amount of time it would take you to have a crap. Because it doesn't take long to write a poem. So you basically you can take the poem in that are in one direction, or you could say immediately you started the poem with bloody dust. You could say, you know, you've bled enough. And then, of course, you start to play within your own mind, perhaps, the idea that, of course, dust doesn't really bleed, and the dust is not sticky. Dust is dry, and blood is sticky. And you could, and blood, on the other hand, you can have dried blood, and you've got yourself a poem all about dust and blood and bloody dust and whatever. Okay, look, it's no good. I can't write it for you. But on the other hand, the main thing is just put something down. So start with bloody dust and then do not stop. Do not stop thinking. Now, the way to do it, to become a poet, is to practice. As I say, practice. So my suggestion is lesson one, you write something down, but you then say to yourself, I'm not going to stop writing until I finish the poem. In other words, you do not remove the pen from the paper. Well, except in order to give the top of the pen a rest. Preferably don't break the pen on the way and have to replace it by another pen. And if you are doing this seriously, I advise you to have a pen in reserve at the same time. So there you are. You've got your writing. And just write it. Just go for it. Just go for it, right? And look, the bottom line is, if you have had all your life no interest in words and you've been afraid of them, you've been hiding from words and you've been borrowing words from other people all your life and you've been an echoer of other people's words, thank goodness, you've reached the point in your life where you are self-aware. You actually know that you are not already a great poet, just waiting to be discovered. You know that so far you've actually had no practice at sculpture. Sculpture, yes. Yes, sculpture is... all poets are sculptors. They carry... fierce, good ones carry vicious instruments with them, and they slice away at their first work. They literally write something down and they cut it to ribbons, and what comes out in the end is nothing like what was there at the start. And they might write 20 lines down and they might get a phrase or two out of it, but basically leave all that stuff about sculpting and cutting things back and blowing them up and seeing where all the pieces land until later. That's the second or third or fourth lesson, if you like. The first point is you've actually gone to write something down. Right? Okay, you'll get bonus points from your children and from some people if it rhymes, right? They'll be amused and it won't stretch them too much. And there's nothing against rhyme. I think rhyme is fabulous. But my opinion doesn't matter at all. Anyway, if you love rhyme, I mean, there are some wonderful poets who use rhymes. And okay, for the very highly sophisticated of you, actually, all of you have given up listening to this, the highly sophisticated ones. But there are things called half rhymes, by the way. By the way, Stephen Fry has written one of the best books anyone has ever written about how to write poetry. So frankly, go and read Stephen Fry, right? Get Stephen Fry's book about how to write poetry. He starts the introduction by saying he's got a terrible secret that he's ashamed of. And the end of his first sentence is something like, you know, I have written poetry. So there we are. It's a late evening. I have taken 20 minutes of your time and enjoyed it, I have to say. Good luck. And yeah, just write something. Bye.